Narayanam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, chapter entitled Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead, text number 45. Danyam yashasyam ayushyam.
Danyam yashasyam ayushyam.
Punyam swastya yanam mahat.
Punyam swastya yanam mahat.
Swagyam drovyam somanasyam.
Swagyam drovyam somanasyam.
Prashasyam maga marshanam.
Prashasyam maga marshanam.
Danyam yashasyam ayusham.
Danyam yashasyam ayusham.
Punyam swastya yanam mahat.
Punyam swastya yanam mahat.
Svargyam drovyam somanasyam.
Svargyam drovyam somanasyam.
Prashasyam aga marshanam.
Prashasyam aga marshanam.
Danyam yasyasyam ayusham.
Danyam yasyasyam ayusham.
Punyam swastya yanam mahat.
Punyam swastya yanam mahat.
Svagyam drovyam somanasyam.
Svagyam drovyam somanasyam.
Prashasyam maga marshanam. Danyam.
Danyam.
Bestowing wealth.
Bestowing wealth.
Yashasyam.
Yashasyam.
Bestowing reputation.
Bestowing reputation.
Ayusham.
Ayusham.
Increasing the duration of life.
Increasing the duration of life.
Punyam.
Punyam.
Sacred.
Sacred.
Swasti ayanam.
Swasti ayanam.
Creating auspiciousness.
Creating auspiciousness.
Mahat.
Mahat.
Great.
Great.
Swagyam.
Swagyam.
Bestowing achievement of heavenly planets.
Bestowing achievement of the heavenly planets.
Drovyam.
Drovyam.
Or Dhruvaloka.
Or Dhruvaloka.
Somanasyam.
Somanasyam.
Pleasing to the mind.
Pleasing to the mind.
Prashasyam.
Prashasyam.
Glorious.
Glorious.
Agamarshanam.
Agamarshanam.
Counteracting all kinds of sinful activities.
Counteracting all kinds of sinful activities.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By hearing the narration of Dhruva Maharaj, one can fulfill desires for wealth, reputation, and increased duration of life. It is so auspicious that one can even go to the heavenly planet or attain Dhruvaloka, which was achieved by Dhruva Maharaj, just by hearing about him. The demigods also become pleased because this narration is so glorious. And it is so powerful that it can counteract all the results of one's sinful actions. Translation responsibly. By hearing the narration of Dhruva Maharaj,
by hearing the narration of Dhruva Maharaj,
one can fulfill desires for wealth,
one can fulfill desires for wealth,
reputation and increased duration of life.
Reputation and increased duration of life.
It is so auspicious that one can even go to the heavenly planet.
It is so auspicious that one can even go to the heavenly planet.
Or attain Dhruvaloka.
Or attain Dhruvaloka.
Which was achieved by Dhruva Maharaj.
Which was achieved by Dhruva Maharaj.
Just by hearing about him.
Just by hearing about him.
The demigods also became pleased because this narration.
The demigods also became pleased because this narration.
Is so glorious.
So glorious.
And it is so powerful.
And it is so powerful.
then it can counteract all the results of one's sinful actions.
That it can counteract all the results of one's sinful actions.
Purport. There are different types of men in this world, not all of them pure devotees. Some are kamis, desiring to acquire vast wealth. There are also persons who are only after reputation. Some desire to be elevated to the heavenly planets or to go to Dhruva Loka, and others want to please the demigods to get material profits. Herein, it is recommended by Maitreya that every one of them can hear the narration about Dhruva Maharaj and thus get their desired goal. It is recommended that the devotees Akama, the Kamis Savakama, and the Gyanis who desire to be liberated, Moksha Kama, should all worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead to acquire their desired goals of life. Similarly, if anyone hears about the activities of the Lord's devotee, he can achieve the same result. There is no difference between the activities and character of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and those of his pure devotees. Omagyan Timbadandasya Kinanjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Militamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Kadati Swa Badantikam Bancha Kaupatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadata Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Hare Hare. So this verse is like a stuti file. What is a stuti file?
Fruits of hearing.
Yeah, the fruits of hearing. Yeah. You hear the pastime, and quite often at the end of the chapter, it gives a description. And the description will be the benefits that you receive by hearing this pastime. So, in the material world, whenever someone does something, they want benefit, they want something in return. That's the nature of the material world. It is the opposite to the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world, when we do something, we don't expect something in return. And that's the qualification, actually, to go back into the spiritual world. Devotional service has to be ahoitiku apratihata. It has to be unmotivated and uninterrupted. And when you can render unmotivated, uninterrupted service to God, to Krishna, then you're allowed to enter back into the spiritual world. That's the qualification. But in the material world, whenever we do something, there's always an expectation of something in return. Even in devotional service, even in Krishna consciousness, even in spiritual activities that we perform here in the temple, sometimes we do them, but we're expecting something in return. And that's material consciousness. But if we analyze ourselves, quite often that is like that. I remember when I joined, when I became a new devotee in this temple, then on Janmashtami is coming up very soon, Krishna's birthday. It was different back then. You know, there'd only be 300 or 400 devotees would come. Mainly Western devotees, actually. It wasn't so many Indian devotees. Now it's like 8,000 Indian devotees and 10 Western devotees. It's a little bit different too. But when I joined, it was not like that. So we would have Janmashtami, and then the day after was Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. And we wouldn't sell, like we do now, we sell all the Mahaprasad that we cook on Janmashtami. We wouldn't sell it, we would keep it all in the what's now the reception. That was like a dining room. So we would keep all the Mahaprasad, and then the next day, 300 or 400 devotees would sit in lines, like from one end of the hall to the other, upstairs in the prasadam hall. And we would serve all the devotees. We were brahmacharis, so we would take that service. So we would serve, it would take about 2 hours to serve all the preparations, because there's so many preparations. We'd serve to all the different devotees. And I remember that one of the brahmacharis, who's like the brahmachari leader at the time, then he said to me, "We have to do this service, you know, serve out all the devotees, because then we will get so much benefit." Which is actually, it's a material calculation. Or it's like it's a spiritual calculation, but you're still calculating. When we do service for Krishna, it should be ahoituki. Ahoituki means I don't want anything in return necessarily. If Krishna gives me something, that's fine, but if he does not, that's okay also. I just want to serve and please. That's ahoituki bhakti. But even in spiritual life, sometimes we are thinking, oh, I will do it, but then I will get benefit. But that's not, that motivation is really not what bhakti is about. And that means we're not developing the pure consciousness of pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is uttama bhakti, shuddha bhakti, kevala bhakti, amala bhakti. It means it's pure. Whereas quite often when we do our service, it's always because we want to get something in return. So here you have a stuti phal, which means at the end of the pastime, you will get all these different things. So sometimes, you know, someone will read the list and they'll think, oh, that's very good. That's what I want, that's what I want, that's what I want. But the main process for purification is described in the second canto of the Bhagavatam. Harinam anukirtanam. That is the process of how to become perfect. You know, if you want to get something, or even if you don't want to get something, the most powerful way to get blessed and benefited in this world, because people are very much concerned with the blessings that they're getting and the benefit that they're getting in this world. You know, we do something and, oh, what will I get in return? You know, that's how everyone calculates and thinks. The most powerful way, if you do want to get something, is the process of hearing. I was actually reading yesterday or the day before, Prabhupada was saying, the process of purification is harinam, anukirtanam, which means to chant the Hare Krishna mantra continuously. But then Prabhupada said, it was interesting, he said, when you preach, like what I'm doing now, like I'm explaining the philosophy, he said, that is kirtan. And he actually said that when you're hearing, like all of you are doing, he said, that is actually kirtan. Because it's spiritual sound. Hearing and chanting. Shravanam kirtanam. That's the goal of kirtan. It's the most powerful way to become purified. You know, more powerful than anything else. Sometimes we think, oh, I'll do austerities. Or I'll do jagyas. Or I'll give away charity. Or so many things. And all these things are very powerful. You know, Krishna himself says in the 18th chapter of the Gita, he says, austerities, sacrifices, charity, purify even great souls. Even if you're very advanced, like Bhishma or Prabhupada or something, you still get purified. When you give charity and you perform a jagya and you do austerity, you get purified. Because the nature of the... But the most powerful charity, the most powerful austerity, and the greatest wealth which you can donate, right, is transcendental sound vibration, Shabda Brahma. To give spiritual sound and to hear spiritual sound. It is the most powerful. Right? So it's the perfection of sacrifice, it's the highest charity, right? It's the best austerity, all these things. So you will get the most benefit by hearing and chanting. I remember a few years ago, it was my birthday, and I was at the Hare Krishna Valley, and Burujan Prabhu was staying there. We had a retreat, and the retreat finished, and then everyone left, and he stayed for a few more days. So I went up to see him. I was going to Melbourne, and he was staying. So I went up to see him and said goodbye, because I'm going to Melbourne now. I said, it's my birthday today. And he said, oh, what are you doing for your birthday? I said, well, I'm going to Melbourne. I have to teach Bhagavatam. And he said, actually, that's the... most perfect way to observe your birthday, because in the Vedic culture, on your birthday you give presents. You know, in the Western culture we receive presents. You know, you sit there, everyone gives you presents, and then in your mind you judge everyone according to what they gave you. Oh, they like me because they gave me this, and oh, that's not a very good present, but you know, like that. So that's material consciousness. But in Vedic culture, when it's your birthday, then you give. And then he said to me, he said, the best charity is to give the Bhagavatam. So he said, actually, that's the most auspicious way to observe your birthday, or any day. Every day becomes auspicious when we hear the Bhagavatam, when we speak the Bhagavatam, when we are doing Shravanam Kirtanam, that makes everything auspicious. And then your life becomes auspicious. That's why for devotees, like you read a list like this, you will get that. It doesn't really matter because we've got it all anyway. You go to the heavenly planets, we're living in the heavenly planets. I mean, really, we are. You know, look at where we live. Who else has got a house like this? You know, you go around, who lives? You know, this is like the best house in Albert Park practically. You know, it's a mansion. You know, all the other houses in Albert Park, they're like little, buildings like that. But then, you know, here, like Prabhupada, it's like a mansion. This is where we live. We live with Krishna. This is Krishna's home. So he lives in a palace. We also get to live there as we serve him. So practically, we already have all these benedictions. Right? We get free breakfast, lunch, dinner. Right? Everyone else has to work. We serve Krishna. We get and then what do you get? You get the best prasadam, the best food. They have to go to our restaurants and pay for it to get it. We just get it. Like that. So practically everything which is benedicted here, we get that. That's the potency. And what is the offering or the exchange you have to make to Krishna? Right? To get that, then you just have to hear and chant. Dedicate your time, your energy, your life to engage in bhakti and devotional service, and then you get the exchange. Krishna looks after you. So it is a perfect exchange. So this is a stuti phal, which means you will get this, you will get that. All these different things are given. So Prabhupada says in the purport, there are different types of men in this world, which means people come to spiritual life for different reasons. And then Prabhupada's quoting, akama, sava kama va, moksha kama, udaridi. We come for different reasons. And we have to analyze what are the reasons that we perform our devotional service, our bhakti. Why do you do your bhakti? There's one pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's called the pastime of Gundicha Marjana. Gundicha Marjana means the cleansing of the temple of Gundicha Devi. She was the wife of Maharaj Indudumna. So if you go to Jagannath Puri, that temple is still there. When you have the Rath Yatra, which was a few weeks ago, and many of the devotees actually went to the Rath Yatra from Melbourne, and then they take Jagannath from his temple to the Gundicha temple, and he stays there for 10 days or so, and then he comes back. So there's a pastime, and in the pastime, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, in the mood of Radharani, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, he's a combined form. He is Krishna, but he has the mood and the complexion of Srimati Radharani. Dyuti, and dyuti means like the glow or the complexion. The bhava, bhava means the mood, the sentiment of Srimati Radharani. So Lord Chaitanya, he was in Jagannath Puri and he wanted to cleanse the temple before Jagannath came to stay there. And Prabhupada explains, it is symbolic also. Because before Krishna comes into the temple, before the deity comes into the temple, it has to be cleansed. And Prabhupada and Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur, the acharyas, explain. Before Krishna will come and sit in your heart has to become cleansed. Otherwise, Krishna cannot sit there. Just like a couple of days ago, we had the Sunday feast at the farm at Hare Krishna Valley. And one lady asked a question. She said to me, first question actually, I said, any questions? Yeah. At Hare Krishna Valley, we don't give a lecture. I just say, any questions? 1 hour, everyone just asks questions. And then I just give answers like that. Like a satsang. Western people, you know, we had like 80 people turned up. Maybe 50 were Western. Prabhupada wants us to preach to the Western people. We have enough Indian people. Not that we have enough in you. We want more and more and more and more. We want everyone to become devotees, but we're very successful in one channel, and on the other channel we're lagging behind. So, and Hare Krishna Valley, it's nice. It's encouraging me because, you know, many Western came. It must have been like 50 Westerners, I think. They came. So any question? So the first question, lady said to me, have you seen Krishna? Have you seen Krishna? First question. But, you know, I explained to her, you know, gave an answer that the bottom line or the conclusion of the answer is no, I have not seen Krishna. Not face to face. I've not seen. Not like I'm seeing everyone. I have not seen Krishna. Why? Because the temple of the heart must be cleansed. And there's too many other things in there. I have too much contamination in there. Karma, krodha, lobha, all of these impurities. So Krishna cannot sit there. Krishna can only sit in a clean place. God will only sit in a clean place. He can't sit there if I have so many impurities. He looks at the seat. He says, look at the seat. It's not clean. Clean it. Get rid of your lust, your anger, your greed, your pride, your envy, your illusion. Get rid of these defects. And then Krishna can come and he can sit in the heart. So we approach Krishna for many different reasons. But because there are so many impurities in the consciousness while we're trying to approach Krishna, then Krishna cannot sit in the heart. Sometimes devotees explain that when you go before the deities are saying, what are you holding back? You come to the deities and you say, you know, I surrender to you. And the deity looks at you and he says, what is that you're hiding behind your back? Oh, I just have a little bit of lust here, but I'm just keeping it. Now, Krishna can see all these things. Sometimes explain like that. Other times it's explained when we go before the deities, they see all the good things. They don't see all the negative things. Mm. If they saw the negative things, you would burn to ashes. So they don't look at the negative. They look at the positive. Actually, what is the answer? They do both simultaneously. They say, oh, you do so many good things. However, there's a couple of things we need to talk about when you're ready. You have to address. Just like when you come before the deities, you have here 7 main deities on the altar. Other personalities are there also, but the large deities we have 7. You could say 8 if we say Lord Nishigane's picture. I mean, there's so many personalities there actually. But you know. So when you come, the deities will reciprocate. You serve these deities. We serve them for years and years and years. I've been serving them for years, these deities. And when I come, I have a relationship with everyone. Everyone is different. Everyone has a different mood. And it's a personal relationship. And for me, the person who gives me the hardest time, his name is Lord Nityananda, which is a little like ironic because he's the most merciful. So some devotees tell me that he reciprocates with them very mercifully. He's just very exciting, very giving. But with me, for some reason, he has a different mood. So whenever I come, everyone else is happy, but then I look at him and he just looks at me. Are you serious? You call yourself a devotee? He gives me this look many times. Because he's looking at me, he's telling me, you need to lift up. Okay, you do so many good things, Radharani and everyone else, they look at all the good things, but I am looking at the other things. You need to improve. So the point is that unless we improve and become free of the contamination, Krishna cannot enter the heart. He cannot sit in the heart. So then, what are the contaminations? If you read that pastime of Gundicha Marjana in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes there are so many moist sex, intoxication, gambling. These are gross. But then there's more subtle things. And then, as we know, we've said many times, the most subtle or the most difficult anatta to remove of the subtle anattas is pratishta. And pratishta means the desire for reputation, recognition, all these things. It's an anatta in the heart. Especially when you become a little successful in devotional service. When you become successful, devotees start to recognize you. You know, you walk in the temple and devotees go, oh, Haribol Puru, they give some recognition. Sometimes they give charity. Right? They do service for you. Sometimes they'll bow down to you. They'll do all sorts of things. But then the contamination comes because that feels very good for the ego. So then we feed on that and the pratishta weed becomes very powerful. So this is something you have to be very careful of. Attachment to recognition. Recognition will be there. That's inevitable. Now, you do service, you'll get recognized. The more service you do, the more recognized you'll get. Right, so that is there. But are we attached? Do we enjoy the recognition? That's the contamination in the consciousness. That has to be removed. And that's not so easy, actually. I see it in myself. You know, sometimes I'm getting recognized for service and I start thinking, I feel like, oh, no, it's not me and like that. And I feel, oh, I'm doing well. I'm recognizing the pratishta is not overtaking me. And then suddenly one person says something and I just feel all this pride just go up in my consciousness, in my heart. And I think, oh, same again. It's actually very difficult to get rid of this contamination. Very difficult. Even in very subtle circumstances, it's very difficult. So, Prabhupada says here, there are different types of people in this world and we all approach for different reasons. But if you hear this pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, you will achieve your desired goal. Chaitanya Bhagavat, it says that Lord Chaitanya would daily, at one point in time, go to the temple of Tota Gopinath and hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit is the incarnation of Srimati Radharani. So, who is more qualified to instruct us on devotional service than Srimati Radharani? No one is more qualified. So, Lord Chaitanya himself, Krishna himself, in the mood of Radha, would go to Gadadha and listen to the Bhagavatam. And describes that tears would come from the eyes of both of them and the tears would smudge the ink of the Bhagavatam. So you couldn't even read it eventually because so many tears were coming from here. And it says specifically in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that they used to discuss the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj hundreds of times. Lord Chaitanya would hear it again and again and again. This is Mahaprabhu himself, would hear this pastime of Dhruva Maharaj again and again and again. And they would relish it. So it says here, while hearing this pastime and after hearing this pastime, you will get different benedictions. They will come. So this verse says, It can fulfill your desire for wealth. So you want to become wealthy. Hands up, you want to become wealthy. One, two. That's good. Honest devotees. Actually, everyone wants to become wealthy. But two devotees recognize it, that's all. So the desire for wealth, material acquisition. And you can say, well, I don't have a desire for it. That's only because you don't have anything. But you get something and you see what happens in your consciousness. You know, you get a new pair of shoes and you think, oh, wow. Or you get a new beanie. And it's like, oh. New watch or a pair of Birkenstocks. I see all you guys when you get your Birkenstocks. So that is there. That is the desire for wealth, material acquisition. It is there. So I've noticed in my life, these things, it says in the Bhagavatam, if you chant and hear these pastimes, you will get these benedictions. And I've seen it in my own life. Because in my life, you know, I'm a grihastha, but I'm a full-time ISKCON devotee. So my main pursuit in life is not wealth. If my main pursuit was wealth, I wouldn't be in ISKCON. I would go outside and I would, like that. So, you know, I get maintained for my service as a grihastha. You know, I get nicely maintained. But that's not my main desire for wealth. But I've seen, because I focus as much as I can on hearing and chanting about Krishna, material benefit just comes. Because it says here, you will get that. And I see it happens. You know, always have enough material facility, you know, to live comfortably. And then you don't have to. If you're living comfortably, then you can focus on service to Krishna. Just like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that if you don't become perfect in this lifetime in your devotional service, you take birth in. The families of the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas, Krishna mentions in the Gita. Or he says the rich mercantile families also. He says that. Why is that? Because in the higher orders, you don't have to worry about money. And if you don't have to worry about money, you can just concentrate on hearing and chanting about Krishna. So I see as a devotee, if you absorb yourself in hearing and chanting, you just get enough material facility that you don't have to worry about things, so then you can just keep concentrating on hearing and chanting. So this benediction is given. Then you will get reputation. Reputation also comes. If you absorb yourself in hearing and chanting, reputation will come. Right? What we have to worry about, reputation will come, that's not what we have to concern ourselves with. What we have to concern ourselves with is the attachment. Because then you become attached to the reputation. Right. Oh, everyone offers me respect and like that. And when they stop offering you respect, which inevitably happens, you know, you go through ups and downs in life. That's just the way it is. And when people are not offering you respect, you see in your consciousness, oh, I don't really like this. I'm uncomfortable. I liked it when everyone was offering respect. That means you're attached to it. That should not affect your consciousness or your devotional service. You know, respect is there, respect is not there. One good thing about being in ISKCON is that you become humble anyway, because half the time all the devotees are criticizing you. So. So you don't have to worry about it. Yeah, when you're getting prominent, everyone kind of knocks you down anyway, so it doesn't matter so much. You don't have to worry too much. Someone will criticize. And then, increase your duration of life. Interesting, increase your duration of life. Why is that? Because when you are born, you have a certain duration of life that is given. It means you are given so many breaths at the time of birth by your previous karma. So when you're hearing the Bhagavatam like we're doing now, it puts you in a very peaceful state of mind. And when you're in this state of mind, your body vibrates at its natural level and you breathe at your natural level. You don't exert yourself, and then you live a natural, long way of life. When you use too many of the breaths, and how to use too many of the breaths. It's actually explained in the first chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavad Gita. There's one verse about the symptoms of Kali Yuga. You know, when it says people are short-lived, unfortunate, unlucky, unfortunate. It says they are always disturbed. That's the ultimate quality. And it's interesting, when you go into the purport, Prabhupada says that one of the main problems in Kali Yuga is that everyone is overindulging. Too much sense gratification. You know, people have too much sex, and they have too much, they eat too much, and they drink too much of the wrong things. And as devotees, actually, many devotees get health problems because of the same thing. Because you can't have sense gratification outside in the outside world, so then your sense gratification becomes prasadam. And you eat too much, especially rich prasadam, and that decreases your duration of life. Because you put too much stress on your body, your internal organs. Because your body has to work so hard all the time, your liver and your pancreas and all the different organs. And then you have to breathe more, right? And then so you see, like, you know, and then you put on weight, right? And then when you put on weight, you know, it takes more effort to do everything you do, like that. And gradually you decrease your duration of life. That's why we have to remain healthy in devotion and service. Prabhupada said we can eat opulently once a week. Once a week you can have a feast, you can satisfy yourself. But the rest of the time you have to practice some restraint. And it's difficult in the temple like this because, you know, it's like multiple times a day this is like prasadam coming out. But if you eat all that opulent prasadam, it will affect your health. So you have to live in a sensible way. So it says here, just by hearing the Bhagavatam, you will increase your duration of life. But then what you do at breakfast, that's a different thing. You can do all the good work now, but then you go to breakfast and then you overeat or eat too much rich or like that. It will affect your conscience. So you have to be conscious of these things. Then, it is so auspicious, you can even go to the heavenly planets or Dhruva Loka. If you hear the Bhagavatam, but you don't become a pure devotee, you will take birth in the heavenly planets. Krishna says that in the Gita. And it's interesting, when Jayananda Prabhu, you know Jayananda Prabhu? Famous devotee in ISKCON. He passed away in 76, I think it was, or near the end of Prabhupada's pastimes. Then Jayananda Prabhu, when Prabhupada wrote the letter, when he passed away, he wrote a letter to him. Prabhupada wrote him a letter to describe. And he said, if there are any impurities in your consciousness, you will take birth in the heavenly planets. If there are any impurities, that's what happens as devotees. If we are not pure, then we have to take birth in heavenly planets. Which, as it says here, that's a benediction you get. If you hear the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj, but you're not pure, you'll take birth in the material world again. But because of the pious merit of hearing the pastime, then you'll go into Swaga, the heavenly realm. But interesting, Prabhupada wrote when he was describing about Jayananda, he said, and from there you can get association of saintly peoples and you can go back to the spiritual world. And then after that, he said, but if you were not so impure, you would directly go to Krishna's pastimes. So Prabhupada explained to us. We have choices as devotees. Depends on how pure we are at the time of death. Then we can either stay in this world or we can go to Krishna's abode. But that depends on us. But just by hearing this pastime, you can get all these benedictions. That's how powerful it is. And then, and this is important, it says at the end, it is so powerful, by hearing this pastime, by hearing the Bhagavatam, it is so powerful that it counteracts all the results of one's sinful actions. You know, in one sense, this is one of the most important benedictions. Because that's when we hear the Bhagavatam, we should become sinless. And we were explaining this last night in our Bhakti Vedanta course. Last night we were studying chapter 65 of Canto 10. What is chapter 65? Well, Balaram returns to Vrindavan. Very special chapter. Extremely special chapter. Because the gopis come back. They directly manifest again in the Bhagavatam. They hadn't been there for nearly 20 chapters. And the other residents of Vrindavan, they all manifest again. And it's very interesting because Lord Balaram goes back to Vrindavan, then what does he do while he's there? He has a rasa-lila. 2 months he stays. Every night he dances with his gopis. And Krishna has his gopis, Balaram has his gopis. And then the Bhagavatam says that you cannot understand the rasa-lila of Balaram or Krishna if you are not free from sin, which even means the desire for sin. It doesn't just mean that we don't, you know, okay, we don't have illicit sex, we don't take intoxication, we don't gamble, we don't eat meat, that's good. But the desire for all of those things may still be there. One time Prabhupada said, the whole reason we come to this material world is to eat meat and have illicit sex. We enjoy it. We like to eat flesh. And we like to have illicit sex. That's why we came to the material world. So, okay, we don't do those things. On the physical platform, we don't, but the desires are still there to do those things. I don't have the desire to eat meat. That's gone. Illicit sex, that is not gone. That attraction is still there. Those desires are still there. I think most of us have that. So, you know, these desires are still there to enjoy separately from Krishna. As long as the desires are there in the consciousness, you can't see Krishna. Right? That's pointed out in the Bhagavatam. Desire for pap. So therefore, you can't see the rasa-lila. And when the demigods came to watch Krishna and Balaram performing rasa-lila, they couldn't see the gopis. They could only see Krishna. Krishna expanded in many forms. But they had lust in their consciousness. So they looked down, they saw so many Krishnas dancing, but they could not see the gopis next to him. No? Because they had lust in the consciousness. And the Bhagavatam is teaching us here. So it says here, hearing these narrations, and that's why the Bhagavatam has to be studied systematically. That's why first canto to 12th canto, you have to go through it systematically. You can read any part, that's okay, but you have to study it systematically. Because Prabhupada says, by studying canto 1 to 9, when you get to the end of canto 9, you should be a God-realized soul. He says that in the introduction, which means you should be able to hear, and when you're hearing, you should see Krishna. So I've done that. I've studied all the way through canto 1 to 9. Now we're studying canto 10. And when I hear canto 10, I don't see Krishna, which means I'm not a God-realized soul, which means I wasted study of 9 cantos. Not wasted, but I didn't get to the level of consciousness I was meant to get to. We studied it for maybe... How long did it take? 10 years or something. 10 years, I still couldn't become a pure devotee. How much more time do I need? That's still not pure. So, it is saying here, this is the greatest benediction. Of all these benedictions which are given here, the greatest benediction is that when you hear the Bhagavatam, your heart becomes free from material desires. But it's a gradual process. It takes time. Yeah, and obviously it takes more than 10 years in most cases. Because I studied for 10 years and still all the desires are not gone. But we have to look within ourselves, and we have to feel are the desires decreasing? That's the main thing. Are they decreasing? All the time. Every day, every week, every Ekadashi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, every ekadashi, look at yourself. How much did I progress since the last ekadashi? Right. And then once a year, you know, for me, when I go to Kartik, if I go to the Holy Dhams once a year, then I look at myself. Okay, Keshava, look at yourself. Last 1 year, you go forward or backwards? Where did you improve? Where did you not improve? You have to look at yourself seriously in devotional service. And you must always be going forward. If you're not going forward, then what are you doing? You're wasting time. Don't waste time. Prabhupada says, do not waste time. So here you get so many benedictions. But actually there's only one thing we're really interested in. What is the one thing that we are interested in? Yeah, serving Krishna. We just want to serve Krishna, that's all. We come to the temple, what can I do? Can I serve you? You go before all the altars, you know, what can I do? I come here once a week. You know, you guys see the deities every day or most days. I only see them once a week. So when I come, I look at my week and I place it on a plate and I give it to the deities. Yeah? There's all the service I did this week. Right? And when I give it to them, I see what is their reciprocation. Are they happy? Are they? How do they look? And then you see. Are you pleasing the deities? Because that's really why we do all of this. Just is Krishna happy? Are the devotees happy? Is the guru happy? That's all. And then all these other benedictions, okay, that's good. You know, you get reputation, you get wealth, all those things. Okay, whatever. But, you know, that's not the main thing, what we do it. And removing the desires in the heart, that's the byproduct of devotional service. Vasudeva Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga, Priyojita, Janaya Yashu, Vairagyam, Yanam Chayat, Ahoitukam. These are the secondary things. Jnana Vairagya, they're the secondary things. The main thing is devotional service. We serve Krishna. And then we become detached. Detached means the material desires are disappearing. That's good. Yeah. That's not the main thing we focus on. If that's the main thing you're focused on, then that's not pure devotional service. Sometimes those in the renounced order of life, the brahmacharis, the brahmacharinis, the sannyasis, they get too absorbed in that part of the process. Oh, I have to become detached. I have to become detached. That's not really what we're doing. Serve Krishna, you will become detached. That's the focus. Then you go back home, back to Godhead, and drink Varuni juice forever. Hare Krishna. Okay. Any questions or comments? What we discussed. Rasa first.
How does Sankirtan rate for getting you to participate?
Yeah, well, that's the process. The process is hearing Harinama no Kirtana. Or Sankirtan, which means hearing and chanting about Krishna. So when you hear and chant and you purify the heart, then those desires disappear. So pratishta and lust and greed and anger, all those things come. So it's the main process for purification. You want to add anything? No, someone else in there? Wait, just wait a minute.
Yeah, you were sharing the past time when we were serving the Jamasthami feast at the Brahmacharya,
yeah.
We used to say that we get so much benefit from the event. But I mean, it's all spiritual benefits. So like you said, if you just have this motivation, you just do it, you know, you get mercy, you get spiritual benefit. Is it similar? It's not too much your motivation. Is it counted as pure?
Yeah, it depends what the motivation is. Mm-hmm. In other words, what's really the motivation? You want to please the devotees. But sometimes we think, oh, I'll do the service because then I will make spiritual advancement. Or I will become purified. Or I. It's all about still thinking about ourselves, the benefit we get. Where it's not really like that. It's the consciousness is, are the devotees happy? Right? There's a feast to be served. You know, when I serve prasadam to the devotees, I try to think, you know, how do they want to be served? What do they like? You know, every devotee is different, so you have to serve differently. You know, serving is an art and a science. You know, and some people don't understand it very well. You know, we have to learn how to serve. You know, give the devotees what they like, thing where you've got to feed the guests more and more and more and more. But actually, the higher cultural thing, you give the guests exactly what they want. Right? Because we have physical bodies, you can only eat so much. And they're like, have another. No, it's like, it's like, where do I put it? It's like, yeah, it's like, what? I mean, the sentiment's nice. You know, take more. But it's not the highest sentiment, actually. It's not the best way to serve prasada. Best way is, you know, the way I serve, and the best way to serve, you know, is you say, what do you want? Dorothy says, I want some more rice. Okay, here's some more rice. Prabhu, do you want more? Not like you're forcing on them. Okay, the sentiment's nice, but it's not really the best way to serve. You know, you give the devotee what they want, that will make them happy. Yeah, not that you just give them what you want. One time, right? And if you think, okay, well, because when I make this point, quite often the Indian devotees are like, oh, no, that's not our culture. We just have to give more. That's why we were... No, actually, it's not. One time, Prabhupada was walking past the kitchen and one of the devotees was cooking Prabhupada's lunch and Prabhupada looked in. And Prabhupada, what did he have for lunch every day? Like rice, dal, chapati, and I think three sabjis. But he had, you know, particular. And sometimes he would ask for something special. Like neem bhaji or something. Like sometimes ask for something particular, but generally Prabhupada would eat. And then one time Prabhupada walked past the key, he looked in, and devotees cooking so many things. So many. Mataji, sit down. He came, Prabhupada went, and he said, they're cooking so many things. Right? And Prabhupada looked in and said, what are you cooking? And they said, oh, Prabhupada, we're cooking your lunch. And Prabhupada looked, and there's so many items they were preparing. And Prabhupada said, are you cooking for you or are you cooking for me? Because Prabhupada just wanted rice, dal, chapati, three sabjis. He didn't want, like, you know, pakora and samosa and like all these extra things. Prabhupada did not eat. So this is the point. So when you're serving, you serve for what the devotee wants, not what you want. Devotional service is not about what you want. Devotional service is what Krishna wants, what the guru wants and what the devotees want. Does that answer your question? I can't even remember what your question was. Does that answer it?
Yeah.
Do you want to add anything? Okay. I hope I answered it anyways. Any other question? Andrew, you want to say something?
Thanks for the wonderful talk. I'm curious about what you said about Krishna being attracted by devotion. I was reading into the Shamans about these different levels.
What's the question?
Yes,
I follow the process. That's the point. The point is that devotionally, you may surrendered, you are, but the point is you have to always be going forward where you are. You're either going backwards or forwards. Prabhupada explained that. The soul is not static, it is ecstatic. Yeah. Yes.
We just heard the Palashruti of listening to Dhruva Maharaj's...
Gajendra, the end of Gajendra, the Leela, Gajendra Moksha. Different, but yes, it is given there. So if you look at the different Leelas, then you don't know. It doesn't matter because he's a Mahajan anyway. So whether you're on, just those 12 were chosen by Yamaraj. So. There's so many Mahajans.
If you're not pure, you know, there is special expectations from Krishna not to have like material validation, car, you know. It's more of like, okay, let's make my life easy.
Because the mentality is when you come before Krishna. When I was a boy, like young, I used to go to a Sunday school in the church, Christianity. So they taught us in the Sunday schools that whenever you pray to God, He will give three answers, one of three answers. When you ask for something from something, it's up to Krishna. He might say yes, no, or wait. That's up to Him. So you ask whatever you want. Go and ask for everything. I want to be the richest man in Australia. Krishna will say yes, no, or wait. It's up to Him. So if you're disappointed, that's your problem. Because if you're asking for something, there's no guarantee Krishna's going to give anything. That's why as devotees we're recommended we don't ask for material things. Rarely I will go before the deities and ask for something. And whenever you get something, like sometimes I get something material, like I get something like a new watch or something, for example. Like I get a new watch. But then as soon as I get it, I always think, tomorrow I might lose it, or it might be taken away, or someone might steal it, or it might stop working. It's the material world. So if you think you're going to be happy, then you're crazy. Prabhupada wrote that essay, Who is Crazy? He wrote that essay, Who is Crazy? So if you think you'll be happy in the material world, you're actually a crazy person. So is that good or bad? That's good. If you think it's bad, that's your problem. Krishna can do whatever He wants anyway. So, GK? Any other question?
But how can we understand as a devotee that he can still have impurities or is thinking that he's going to bore in a Vaishnava and continue his spiritual journey? So who will go to the heavenly planets and who will go to the Vaishnava and continue his journey? Because that seems to be a disqualification going back to the heavenly planets. So how do we understand?
It depends on how advanced you are, that's all. So if you're less advanced, if you're like a devotee but you're very materialistic, you see like some devotees, they come to the temple planets, right? Because then everyone dresses nice and they all drive chariots and it's like, oh, it's all like that. It's all about, all the material things. So if you're like that, then you go heavenly planets. If you're more advanced, then you take, we aim for pure devotional service. What we're aiming for is to go back to Krishna. But if you're going to do that, you have to be really serious. It's okay. It's up to you how serious you get. That's it. Nothing is stopping us from going back to Godhead except ourselves. That's all. So it's up to you. So. Any other question? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki?